This is DW News, and these are our top stories. The World Health Organization says it's deeply concerned about the rapid escalation and global spread of the coronavirus. There are now 205 countries affected and more than 900,000 cases worldwide. Nearly 50,000 people have died. There are growing fears of unrest as Italy enters its fourth week of lockdown. Armed police have been deployed outside supermarkets in the south as people run out of food and money. Local leaders say harsh restrictions on movement and commerce cannot continue indefinitely. A key United Nations climate summit due to be held in the Scottish city of Glasgow has been postponed because of the pandemic. The COP26 talks were set to open in November. The conference is now scheduled for next year. The German government has announced a 2 billion euro rescue package for startups. Germany is also extending its restrictions on movement and business aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus until beyond Easter. This is DW News from Berlin. For more, follow us on Twitter or visit our website, dw.com.
Nowhere is the human cost of the corona pandemic more painfully evident than in Italy. More than 13,000 deaths, the most in the world. Tonight, Italian lawmakers are asking their neighbors for help. And if the European Union doesn't get this right, they warn that the EU itself could also become a victim of the virus. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
Europe has to show whether or not it's a common European house.
We will soon need something close to normal economic activity.
We have to face and overcome an epochal challenge, an emergency that's having a destructive impact on our health systems, our economies, and our social systems.
Not only will we have thousands of coronavirus deaths, but we will also have millions of unemployed.
We are not writing pages of a business handbook here. We are writing the pages of a history book.
Also coming up, the coronavirus has already upended daily life around the globe. When the pandemic is over, what kind of world will we live in? Will Europe keep its promise to protect your data privacy?
This platform is the European solution. It conforms to data protection regulations and respects society, our values, and can contribute to health protection.
Well, to our viewers on PBS in the United States and all around the world, welcome. We begin the day with the health crisis that has become a human crisis. Today, the head of the United Nations declared the coronavirus pandemic the greatest test that the world has faced since the Second World War. And so far, the solutions appear bigger than any one country. This is not news to the people in Italy. The death toll from the virus is the highest in the world there. Hospitals are at their limits, along with the country's entire economy. Unemployment is rising, and more people are facing hunger. The government is now distributing food vouchers, but no one is kidding themselves tonight. The gap between desperation and social unrest is getting smaller by the day.
Italy's streets, empty, like they have been for the past 3 weeks. Police are on patrol to ensure citizens only leave their homes when strictly necessary. The lockdown has altered daily life in Italy and brought the country's economy to a halt. All non-essential businesses have had to shut down. Many people have lost their jobs or have seen their salaries cut. Some are now unable to afford even the basics. Authorities and individual citizens have stepped in, handing out meals to those in need. But these initiatives are hardly enough, and the risk of social unrest in Italy is growing. The mayor of Naples has warned that the lockdown can't continue indefinitely.
We will soon need something close to normal economic activity. Otherwise, not only will we have thousands of coronavirus deaths, but we will also have millions of unemployed. Organized crime will step in, it can spend money, and it can spend it faster than the government.
In Sicily, police are patrolling supermarkets after reports of shoppers refusing to pay. Italy isn't the only nation where the lockdown is hitting the poor hardest. It might again prove to be an example of what's to come in other countries paralyzed by the coronavirus crisis.
For more now, we want to bring in Tommaso Nannicini. He's a member of the Italian Senate for the center-left Democratic Party, which is one of the parties in the Italian government. He's also a political economist. Mr. Nannicini, welcome to the day. Our condolences to your country and all those who have lost loved ones due to the virus. Your country is now in its fourth week of this lockdown. The economy is shut down. Does everyone in Italy tonight have enough to eat?
Hi, thank you, and thanks for having me. Actually, the situation is still dramatic, as you were saying, and we are still at the peak of the health emergency and the healthcare emergency. And the government just extended the lockdown of non-essential services today until Easter, until April 13. But we are confident that thanks to the lockdown, the peak will be soon over, although we are aware that the transition out of the lockdown will be very difficult and will have to be gradual.
Yeah, the transition after the lockdown, you tweeted earlier today that after the coronavirus pandemic, there will be a new world, whether we like it or not, and it will depend on the choices being made today. What are those choices?
Well, we should be all be aware that of the huge responsibility that Italian and I would say European leadership face in this moment, because the effect of the choices that you are gonna make in those difficult times will last actually forever. And at the moment, we should be aware that the transition out of the lockdown, out of the health emergency, out of the pandemics will be long. This doesn't mean that we can afford a permanent lockdown for a lot of months, but it means that we have to plan in advance. Because the pandemics can take by surprise decision makers, but the transition that we have to plan cannot take us by surprise. We have to take decision in advance which categories of the workforce, which sector should restart their activity, with the right timing and with the right social distancing.
Mr. Nannicini, I want you to take a listen to what your prime minister said about Italy and the European Union in this crisis. Take a listen.
But I would like to take the opportunity to tell the people of Germany that we are not writing pages of a business handbook here. We are writing the pages of a history book. We have to face and overcome an epochal challenge in order to master an emergency that's having a destructive impact on our health systems, our economies, and our social systems. Europe has to show whether or not it's a common European house, a house capable of offering a response to this epochal challenge, whether Europe is up to its tasks as envisaged by Schuman, Adenauer, De Gasperi.
I want to ask you, that's your prime minister there. He's implying that something like euro bonds or corona bonds are needed moving forward. Are you getting any indications from the Netherlands, from Germany, that they would be willing to change their rules and the taboos and say yes to some type of shared debt burden?
Well, I think that we should change the discussion. It's not a matter of Germans against Italians or Dutch against Spaniards. We should, in these difficult times, we should have this discussion as Europeans. And we should discuss with different views, of course, because you may have on this matter more conservative or more progressive views about the kind of Europe that you envision. But we should really have this discussion as Europeans. What kind of economic policy we need to face this crisis, to address common problems with common tools. I mean, to the list of European leaderships of the past, I would add Helmut Kohl and François Mitterrand. When those leaderships decided to have a common currency, to have the euro, they didn't listen just to economists talking about optimal monetary areas. They viewed in the euro a piece of a political construction. We should do the same at this point and really ask ourselves as Europeans whether we need a fiscal union that complements the monetary union manage aggregate.
That would be a big change, Mr. Nannasini. You wrote yesterday in the online newspaper L'Inchiesta, you wrote that the fact that we Italians have often been masters of bad debt does not matter now, although we should own up to it. How do you convince, though, the German government, the Dutch government, that your past behavior is not an indicator of Italy's future behavior when it comes to debt?
Well, in two steps. The first one is the one you mentioned. We should acknowledge that even though today, as Europeans, we need good debt, debt to for social investment and to face the crisis, as Italians in the past, we have done a lot of bad debt. First of all, we should acknowledge that. The second thing is that the new debt should be decided by European institutions. I'm not asking foreign countries to pay for Italian debts. I'm asking all European countries to have new bonds at the European level to solve together, to face together the crisis. We should decide together. Yes. What are the priorities? We should decide together what are the areas and the tools that we use to face unemployment and the liquidity problems of our firms as Europeans, at the European level. That's my report.
Well, I'm certain that this discussion will continue, Mr. Nannasini. Tommaso Nannasini, member of the Italian Senate with the center-left Democratic Party. Mr. Nannasini, we appreciate you talking with us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is your smartphone helping the government trace your every step? The German government is about to launch a smartphone app that would alert people if they come in contact with someone who has tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, studies show that this contact tracing method is highly effective against epidemics. It was used in South Korea successfully. But will it force people to decide between public health and data privacy? So far, the signs are all for public health.
Using mobile phones to tackle the coronavirus without a massive increase in state surveillance. For weeks, over 100 experts from 8 countries have been working to achieve this goal. Now they've come up with an app that uses Bluetooth technology to anonymously monitor whether other users are nearby for a certain period of time. If a user has tested positive for the coronavirus, other app users who were in contact receive a warning. The app works on a voluntary basis. Privacy will be strictly respected because we will on no account use personal data or location data. Neither will data be saved.